Fanning. Weekends on 2FM.
Good man yourself, Anton Savage. How are you today?
I'm very good, Dave. And I, you know that I do my very best to be as circumspect as I can and not to, to impinge on your private life, intrude upon your private life, inquire about your private life. But this weekend, I would like to make an exception.
Well, then I'll tell you everything. I'm lying on the couch. Off you go.
This is a broadly hypothetical question, but I'd like you to treat it as seriously as you could. If on a competitive basis you had to carry your wife, in what position would you carry her?
Like, in what position should she be in, or would I be in?
Well, you got to run. So you've got to, your feet are on the ground. So you're vertical. You might go hands and knees, but you're never going to win that way. So let's assume that you're standing and running. How would you like your wife to be placed?
Upside down on my back, like a kind of a sack of coal. That way.
You are a very unusual man, Dave.
Why does nobody else do it that way?
Well, I think most people. No, sorry, hang on. Are you saying like a fireman's lift where she'd be over one shoulder and you'd be holding on with a single arm?
Yeah.
Oh, no. That's schoolboy error.
Oh, really? Schoolboy error. Okay.
That's a very unsexful technique. How are you going to run when you're all balanced over to one side?
Hold on. This is a thing, is it? It's going to lead to a thing.
I should say the reason that we are discussing this is because there's big news from Hungary.
Okay. A man carried his wife like a sack of coal.
Several men carried their wives.
Oh, it's one of those race things, isn't it?
Exactly.
Yeah, right, like an egg and spoon race, but with the wife.
Like an egg and spoon race, but with the wife. That's exactly what it is.
Is there a wives race with the husbands?
No, a BBC journalist pair entered a wife-carrying contest. Now, I don't think they were married, but they were co-presenting, which is married on TV. And they reversed the genders and she carried him around.
Right.
But I think just statistically, it's more difficult to do it in the reverse order because the minimum weight for a wife in a wife-carrying contest has to be 49 kilos. If she's below that, you handicap her like you would with a horse. Or handicap him as you would with a horse because he's the vehicle.
Right.
I think you'd struggle to find many couples where the man is 49 kilos. So you're going to be carrying a lot of disadvantage if you reverse the genders, but I'm sure you're let.
Right, indeed. So let's get back to Hungary and what happened. Is this an annual thing?
It is an annual thing, but like many things, Dave, it's one of those things. Everybody talks about the hoteliers. Everybody talks about the publicans. Everybody talks about the events industry.
But
does anybody mention the wife-carrying competitions?
No.
An entire elite sport has been almost wiped off the face of the earth for the last 18 months since coronavirus. And finally, it has made a comeback because last weekend, some 40 Hungarian husbands with 40 Hungarian wives, each to their own, clambered over rough terrain, according to Reuters, in the nation's second wife-carrying contest.
Hold on a second. Is it true, or again, did I make this up, that if you put the Olympics on in your place, then you can decide on three new sports or something? Is that possibly? I'm not sure.
Oh, my God,
in which case,
brilliant. I hope
it's
true.
In which case, well, I mean, some of the stuff with the Olympics is outrageous. Yeah. Anyway, what was I saying? I can't remember now. Oh, yeah, if Hungary were to stage the Olympics, they could throw that
they
in.
Could put in wife carrying. Of course. It's
experts.
Genius, Dave. Yeah. Although apparently Hungary is not the birthplace of wife carrying.
Oh, I didn't know that.
No, I know. I shouldn't assume you didn't know. I don't know how big a fan you are of wife carrying. The wife carrying contest began in Finland and it takes a dark turn when you read the history, because depending on what way you look at it, it is attributed to a Robin Hood type character in Finnish history, where it became a sport because he would snatch wives and run away with them. So it is an entire sport rooted in kidnapping.
Right, but and did this person really exist? I mean, like, people think that Robin Hood was a real person. And don't start telling me now who he was, please.
Of course he was.
Oh, God, no, I shouldn't have done that. It's the same
here,
as
I got a joke
Holmes.
For you.
He really lived at 221A Baker Street or whatever.
I got a joke. You'll like this. What was the name of Robin Hood's girlfriend?
Okay. Now, if I say Maid Marian, I wouldn't be right, would I? Maid
no,
Marian.
You wouldn't. No, it's Trudy Glenn. Robin Hood, Robin
yes,
Hood,
I know,
riding
Trudy. Jesus.
Anyway, so the Hungarian wife-carrying contest.
Do you remember the Monty Python one? Dennis Moore. Dum-dum-dum the night.
The Hungarian wife-carrying contest has returned. And It has brought much joy to the peoples and much joy to the competitors, because as with any sport, they do treat it very seriously. And it brings us back to where we started, which is that were you to enter your wife in a wife-carrying contest, your method of approach would not be regarded as, it'd be amateurish at best, Dave.
But you don't know. I mean, do you remember in 68, was it in the Olympics, to go back to that, the Fosbury flop?
The Fosbury flop.
Yeah, and he went backwards. What did he do? He won.
It's true.
I might be onto something.
There is always scope for revolution. You never know, that you may be right. I mean, the first lad who did a wiggle before he flung a hammer, I'm sure he shocked everybody. But
who
it became
did a
the
what?
Who did a little wiggle? Do you know, the first hammer throwers, there was no way they were spinning around. First of them just stood up, lamped the yoke into the distance. I'm done. Some fancy hurler gets up, does a couple of spins, like, look at Johnny's flash over here. But suddenly he becomes the norm. So the same is true with wife carrying. In ye olden times, the technique would have been a fireman's lift or a basic piggyback, which is, I think, most of us, if we were thinking about our wife's personal dignity, we would have gone with the piggyback, Dave, rather than just fling her over our shoulder.
Sorry,
like a Neanderthal.
You threw in the word Dave there, so I'm suddenly back listening.
But the technique that you should adopt if you ever decide to carry your wife on a competitive basis is the Estonian carry, wherein she straddles your back with her thighs on top of your shoulders and puts her arms up under your shoulders so that she is face down in and around your fundament, and your arms are largely free so that you can pump them while running. There you go. Practice that over the weekend.
Okay, that's fantastic. Okay, Hungarian out of Finland, wife swap.
Indeed, wife big throwing. In Scandinavia. And there's no wife-carrying competition in Ireland, Dave, and I think there's
you
a niche
me.
In the market. Exactly.
Yeah, okay, right, okay. Patent, let's go.
American Airlines, or rather United Airlines, the American airline, ironically, but not the one that has the brand name. United Airlines have told their crews not to duct tape passengers to their seats.
Oh, I saw a picture of somebody getting duct taped because they were groping people who run up and down.
Flight attendant.
Thank you. The flight attendants. Yeah, that's right. I saw that. And are you saying that, like, that's not what we do in this airline? Is that it?
Yes, they've said there are more appropriate manners in which you can restrain somebody. John Slater, Senior Vice President of In-Flight Services, told
it's like
employees...
how to put your budgie down, you know? yeah, they shoot him in the beak just there. Or you hit him over the head with the book. What do you mean more appropriate methods? What are you on about? Like, do they have stun guns and stuff? You know those yokes that go, you got an electric shock. Have you ever seen one of those things? I never have, actually. I'd like to get one for Christmas. Go on.
can we just take a pause while I enjoy how to put your budgie down?
Yeah, do you remember that? It's brilliant. Oh, yeah, he wasn't dead. He kept wriggling about.
Yeah. Sorry. Anyway, John Slater said, please remember that there are designated items on board that may be used in difficult situations, and alternative measures such as tape should never be used. So reading between his euphemistic lines, one assumes there are cuffs or tasers or zip ties or something that you're meant to use to restrain a passenger. However, anybody who saw the video of the guy being duct taped to a seat, it is difficult to argue that anyone in human history more deserved duct taping than that lad.
Funny, it's a terrible thing. I saw the picture. I could have pressed on the button to see what actually happened, and I didn't.
Oh, Dave.
So I didn't actually see the actions that were going on, yeah.
Well, it is currently subject to criminal proceedings, but the reporting would indicate that he is alleged to have groped two flight attendants and took a swing at another. Yeah. Now, I would have thought any one of those gets you duct taped to something. Once you go for the trifecta, you should spend the rest of your flight sellotaped to your seat.
Yeah, absolutely. And the whole drink thing on airplanes is a bit of an odd one, isn't it?
The fact that they give it to you?
Yeah. The fact that you can, like, down a bottle of something or other, I think it's kind of odd. It's not exactly the place. And then another way it probably is. I don't know.
Well, I don't know. I you know, every now and then you go through an airport, and usually Dublin, actually, and at 8 o'clock in the morning, there's a table full of people drinking pints.
Yeah,
God. No, that's hard.
Couldn't, yeah.
Hard.
Yeah.
In other news.
Unless I was still out. What was I going to say? In other news, yeah. Go on.
A man is embarking on a 1,800-mile tour on a 50cc moped of all of the places with rude names in the UK.
Oh, no. I can see the door is open now. For you to go right back to the age of six and every year in between. Oh, God. Okay.
Guess where he's starting, Dave?
Effin in Limerick, no?
Very close.
He's waiting for the Effin bus. Okay, go on, tell me. Where?
No,
oh, sorry, this is England. Sorry.
Yeah, so he's not going to get to Nobber. He'll never get to ask Juleek. And most importantly, no muff.
Or Balls Bridge, Stillorgan and Glasgow.
Or Hackballs Cross.
Yeah, I mean, seriously. Hackballs Cross. Who came up with that one?
Sluts End, Dave. I keep telling you. Sluts End. Bastardstown. There's another.
Yeah, Bastardstown, yeah. That's no, he's in Wexford, isn't it? I think it is.
It is, that's right, yeah. He's starting in Shitterton.
Is he now?
He okay, is, right. Yeah.
And then where is he going? By the way, why is he going to all the places with silly names? Or dirty
well, it's
names
quite nice. He's making a charity fundraising trip in memory of a friend who died of cancer. So he's doing all this to draw a bit of attention. He said, everybody starts a long journey, like the one I'm doing, from Land's End to John O'Groats. I wanted to do something similar, but with a twist. So I'm starting at Shitterton, and then he says there are other good ones around here, like the Happy Bottom Nature Reserve and the Sandy Balls New Forest Holiday Park.
Okay, and there's many more in between. It's not like he won't do John O'Groats to Land's End or vice versa isn't good enough for him, no.
No, because he has to fit in Pity Me in Durham, Dull in Perth and Kinross, and the neighbouring hamlets of Crazy's Hill and Cockpole Green near Reading.
Okay, fair enough. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, all right, that's good.
There's also Butthole Lane in Sheepshead.
Of course.
Titty Ho in New Northamptonshire.
Right, okay.
I quite liked Titty Ho.
It can't seriously be a place called Butthole. Give me, there's a band in America. They're quite good.
The Butthole Surfers.
Yeah, the Butthole Surfers. Did you ever hear that track? It's great.
I'm familiar with it. You'd be able to tell me a thing about an American band. Is it true that the American band that had some brief success a number of years ago called Blink-182 was so called because there was a pre-existing band in Dublin called Blink?
Well, there is a pre-existing band in Dublin called Blink, most definitely. And they had to put the 182 because they were afraid. I have no idea. I don't know.
Yeah. Oh, my God. I found your weakness. It's like the end of a computer game where you fight 41. The big boss. In other news, do you remember The Ever Given?
The Ever Given? That's the boat that got stuck.
That is
all right.
The very thing, yeah. The one that
went
to Kimbo.
Do you know an amazing thing about that? It is called The Ever Given, but if you see it when at that time, it says Ever Good written on it.
I see. Did they rename it?
I don't know. Oh, maybe it's so because of the shame of what happened last April or May or whatever it was. Yeah.
Or is it that one is the name of the shipping line and the other is the name of the
boat?
That particular boat.
I don't know. No idea.
I read a very interesting book a while ago.
I don't doubt it.
About a man who spent a year just travelling on the Maersk shipping lines.
Oh,
so
yeah.
All he did was he just travelled from boat to boat to boat to boat. Very interesting.
But like those boats are 98% just huge big yokes on them. I mean like boxes and stuff that takes about 3 weeks to actually fill the boat, isn't it?
Correct. And almost nothing else on it. There's only like four or five other people on the entire ship.
Like there's no swimming pools or there's no kind of, you know,
very
catering.
Little. Nary a wife can they carry. Because I don't think they
what else
them.
Do we talk about? Quick.
Well, anyway, The Ever Given has taken another run at her. It is, of course, the ship that went sideways in the Suez Canal and caused a huge amount of problems, including, I think, Brexit.
Yeah.
It's now taken a second go at it. So we'll all globally keep our fingers crossed,
whip
out the
rosary
beads.
I mean, I remember at the time, like it had already gone through the Suez Canal 10 or 15 times.
Yes.
That wasn't its first time.
So no.
It's not like this is only its second time.
No, but it's its first time
since.
After the previous
thing. So therefore,
day.
It's of interest. It's news.
Well, like, let's imagine, Dave. Let's say you had been competitive in wife carrying and you dropped the wife. It doesn't matter that you've done it 12
Point
times previously.
Taken. Indeed.
The next one is critical.
Right, absolutely. You're only as good as your last trying to get through the Suez Canal.
And on that note.
Is that it? You've no more stories?
You can be buried next to Hugh Hefner if you got 2 million quid.
You can be buried next. Do you know when Hugh Hefner at the what do you call it? What do you call the thing? The
Careful.
Eulogy.
Yeah,
no,
Careful.
The eulogy. This is the first thing he said. Listen, there's one thing I can't say is I can't say he's gone to a better place.
Well, this is actually quite interesting because Hugh Hefner is buried very close to Marilyn Monroe, which is ironic given the role that he had in shooting her to fame way back in the, I want to say, late 50s.
And what's the point you're making? That I could be buried there too.
Well, you need 2 million quid. Anybody can be buried there. But this is a crypt in Hollywood.
Oh, right.
And it's the Pierce Brothers Westwood Village Memorial Park in Los Angeles. And it is effectively a celebrity, not effectively, it is a celebrity crypt. So Natalie Wood is in there, Truman Capote is in there, Hugh Hefner is in there, and Marilyn Monroe is in
there. Do
you
know where Timothy Leary is?
No.
Or Gene Roddenberry, you know your man who does Star Trek.
Gene Roddenberry wanted to be flung into space.
He is, and so is Timothy Leary, yeah. He's currently circling as we speak. I mean, his ashes are.
Why did Timothy Leary want to get into space?
Because he wanted to tune in, turn on and drop out. I have no idea. But like, whatever you said there, like those tombs and crypts and catacombs and those, mausoleums and vaults and that. Graveyards and cemeteries. Is there a difference in a graveyard and a cemetery? This is not a riddle, by the way.
That's a very good question. I wish I knew.
I have no idea.
There is a thing. Did you know that they had to put in, if you go to graveyards from the late 17 to, I think it's early 1800s, a lot of the crypts were constructed almost like vaults. You'll see they have wrought iron around them and right. They're locked up and all the rest of it. They did that so that the bodies couldn't be nicked in the early stages of putrefaction, particularly in Edinburgh, I think and the anatomists were, it was a big thing. And one of the worries Yeah, the people will rob the grave because you need a fresh corpse if you're going to dissect it. So they had wrought iron and bars and everything.
And then they just kept the gates there for the next 50 years.
Once you put them in, what are you going to do?
What are you going to do, indeed?
So going back to this issue, you now have this crypt where you have Natalie Wood, Truman Capote, Hugh Hefner, and what's her features? Marilyn Monroe.
Yeah.
Now, they've all purchased their crypt space in the 50s and 60s. So how is there a slot open, Dave?
Oh, yeah. Well, somebody must have maybe exhumed the body of somebody in their family and said, get out of there and we're going to sell this plot and make a fortune.
Close. Somebody's plans changed. A lad by the name of Jerry Herman, who was known for his work as the composer of Hello, Dolly. It has the exclamation mark, so I wanted to put it in. and Le Cage aux Folles. He had intended to be buried betwixt Hugh Hefner and Marilyn Monroe, but his family, maybe he changed his will, buried him beside his mother in New Jersey. Hence, his space is available and the family have put it up for auction.
How much-ish?
2 million.
2 million, wow.
Okay. Yeah, the Playboy publisher Hefner spent 75K for his plot. Then a memorabilia collector by the name of Tom Gregory sold his plot on the other side of Maryland for $699,000 in 2014. He had bought it previously, about 10 years before that, for $350K. So it looks like this could be somewhere in and around the 2 million mark.
I kind of like the idea of voyaging around the solar system, actually. I think that's kind of cool.
We'll be nice with him.
Yeah.
Here, I got a joke before I go. Okay. You heard about the toilet that got stolen from the police station?
I did not.
Police say they have nothing to go on.
Oh my God. Okay.
Bye, Dave.
I'll have a few for you next week. Anton Savage, it's been real. Good man, Anton. Thanks. Good luck. Take it easy. Bye.
Dave Fanning, weekends on 2FM.